First of all, I give honor to God for the opportunity and the privilege to read his word in the presence of his people. Genesis 35th chapter, the first through the seventh verse. Then God said to Jacob, "Go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress, who has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell upon the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them. Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for this great opportunity that you've given us to have access to you. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. We pray that today the pastor will give us a message that will help us live. We pray that you would cleanse our hearts and our minds, that we might be prepared to serve you in the way that you created us to do. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. While preparing this message, I was trying to remember or think of people that I know, either in the Bible or in my own life, that made the mess of their lives, ran away from God or from their own responsibility, only to regret that running away, that deserting of their responsibilities, and to want to come back. And often these men and women who have returned to their Bethel or to their place of commitment were blessed, have been blessed, and have done well. But there is always a small or sometimes or a very huge price to pay for disobeying God. And we have many examples. Of course, we have the example of David that sinned and then for a year covered up his sin. And then we have the story of the prodigal son who thought he was going to do well and be happy, but then again he realized that he now was living with the pigs and eating what they were eating and eventually was going to die with them, and he returned to his father. Jacob was a son of Isaac who became a patriarch of Israel. He deceived Esau and their father, and thinking of the story of Esau and Jacob, I thought he was not a very good boy. He deceived his father. But then again, I thought about it a little more carefully, and I realized that he had faith, a lot of faith in God. Or else, why would he want to have that blessing? Why would he want to be blessed by his father unless he believed that these blessings came from God and that the father's blessings will work and he would be blessed? And he was willing to go to all kinds of extremes, or he went to the extreme of deceiving his father, thanks to his mother, of course. And then we see his brother, who was within belief in these blessings, and he was willing to give up those rights for a soup, lentil soup. And then you wonder, or you start thinking, well, maybe God was right to bless Jacob. Well, God knows what he is doing. He fled to Canaan to escape from Esau. Sin drove Jacob away from his home and family. Sin always drives a person away. It will not let you stay where you are. And then you have heard stories of beg ladies or or drunkards in the streets of Montreal or somewhere else, that when you start talking with them, you discover that at one time he was a doctor or a lawyer, or he was a very well-respected person in the church, but then there was a sin that came in his life or her life, and that sin was entertained to the point of that person leaving the church, leaving the family, and wasting his or her money. Could be sexual perversions, drunkenness, drugs, gambling, and families have been destroyed. And then all of a sudden they find themselves to the point of they think no return. And they look around and they find nothing, and they stay where they are. Jacob at Bethel. Bethel was the place where he discovered, or at least he met God. On his way to Canaan, he met God and spent an incredible night. That was incredible. He was running away from God and his brother and his father, because he had committed a sin. He had deceived them. He had sinned, and he was scared. And he was running away, and he probably thought, God is going to get me for this. God is going to get me for this. And all of a sudden, something incredible happens, and God is about to bless him. And he can't understand that. Sometimes we cannot understand how God can bless me. I have sinned. I have broken his laws. I have disobeyed him. I have ran away from him. And all of a sudden, now I'm sorry. And I want to turn to God, but I don't have the courage to do it. But God reaches down and he connects with me and he says, I'm going to bless you. And we marvel. The letter from earth to heaven, God provides the means to connect with him. God provides the means to connect with him. From nowhere, this thing comes between him and God, this connection. And I always use the example of being plugged into the source, into the power source. And all of a sudden, they didn't have wires, I suppose, in those days. And God used a stepladder. And he connects with Jacob. And Jacob, all of a sudden, he marvels. He sees angels going up and down. Oh, they came to get me. They came to get me. Here, I'm going to pay a price. And all of a sudden, he hears the voice of God that says, I'm going to bless you. And he's confused. You are confused. I'm confused sometimes when we wake up after doing something so bad and we are sorry and we are running away from our sin. God says, wait a minute. Not so fast. I got things to do with you and through you. Because Jacob met God there, he named the place Bethel, the house of God. I don't know where you met God. I don't know how you surrendered yourself to the Lord. But I remember what happened with me. I was only 12 years old, and I come from a very evangelical family. My mom and my dad would always ask me to read the Bible, pray my prayers, and not read any other magazines like the Chatelaine. And we didn't have Chatelaine, was something else there. But anyways, and I always thought I was a good boy until one day an evangelist came. It was an evening service, and he started preaching about eternal life and sin and how we can receive eternal life and forgiveness of our sins. 12 years old, I had committed, I thought, a lot of sins. And I needed forgiveness, and I went to the front, and I surrendered my life to him, and I asked him to be my Lord and Savior. I was 12. I understood a little bit of him, but for the amount of understanding I had, God gave me his grace and his help. And we lived maybe half an hour away from the church, and I was alone that night. My parents were at home, and I started running and running so fast. I thought I was flying because I was happy. That had become my Bethel, the house of the Lord. I had met God there. But like Jacob, I suppose I wandered away. And then when I returned to my Bethel, I saw God's hand in my life. Jacob made a good life for himself, but God called Jacob to go back to Bethel 30 years later. Jacob had prospered, although he worked very hard. He worked 7 years for one wife and 7 years for the other wife. And then he put in another 6 years for his father-in-law. And he had worked very hard and he had become very rich. And he was blessed. And he was very comfortable. And all of a sudden he hears the voice of God. Jacob, get out of here. Go back to your Bethel. Get out of here. You are too comfortable here. This comfort zone is going to kill you spiritually. Look at your family. They already have backslidden. You are not like before when you made that commitment. Get out of this place. Then God said to Jacob, and I'm quoting, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. This call came from God Himself. Sometimes the pastor speaks, sometimes your wife or son, but sometimes God Himself speaks to you. The question is, are you listening? God calls those who have wandered away to return. He calls us back to places of dedication. He calls us to return to Him. In Hosea 12:6 we read, but you must return to your God. And again, this is very important because many Christians, many who made commitments, many who have a place of a commitment or Bethel or a date have become so comfortable in the world and have been enjoying so much the things of the world that it takes God's active reaching down and His voice to say, get out of this place. You are too comfortable. And I don't mean when I say too comfortable that God does not give us peace and comfort and riches if He pleases. But what I mean is you are too comfortable with the world. You are too comfortable with the corrupt system. You are too comfortable with the jokes and the stuff that they do. And you have neglected your spiritual life. And you have neglected your living God. And you have been a bad example to your family. Look at your wives. They are now wanting to have those gods in their home. And you have stopped being filled with the Spirit of God. Let's look at Jacob's meeting with God at Bethel the first time. He had stopped to rest while he was running away from trouble. He heard God speak to him. He saw heaven and earth joined. God promised to him to be with him. And all that had stayed in his mind. And all that was brought to his new place. And when he got married, there was all this spirituality in him and with him. But eventually, he left his first love. When Jacob heard God, he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. Are you aware that God is in this place here this morning? Often there may be a lot of religion in a church, but Jesus is absent. And you may say, what are you talking about? When you go to church, Christ is there for sure. That's why we go to church. What do you mean to say that God is not there? Whenever we go to church, God is there. That's why we go there. But unfortunately, that's not what it is, and that's not how it is. There are many churches, and there are many worship places that God has moved out long time ago and does not want to return because people have rejected Him. People have made their own gods, their music, their doctrine, their pastor, their whatever that is, and God has no more room. There is no more room for Him. And God said to Jacob, remove those gods. You need to go back to Bethel where you made a promise and you said this, that, and the other. Three promises you made. Now Jacob was ready to make his commitment to God. And then and there he made his vows. Three vows he made. First, the Lord will be my God. He said, the Lord will be my God. And all of a sudden, he was finding out after many years that God was not the only God he had. Number two, and the stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. Number three, and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Well, people say sometimes your church believes in tithing, or I should be giving my 10%. And the answer is that actually you should give everything you have. And of course that means that everything we have, everything I have, belongs to Him. But also He has made me a steward, and I should be a good steward to know how to manage my talents, if I have any, my health, if I have some health, whatever health, and the money God has given me to know how and when and where to use it. But the wandering, backsliding, troubled Jacob needed Bethel again. And 30 years later, Jacob finds himself in trouble again. In Genesis 34, verse 30, we read, then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have brought trouble on me by making me a stench to the Canaanites and Perizzites. The people living in this land, we are few in number, and if they join forces against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed. Sin was about to destroy him, Jacob, and his family. Jacob had forgotten his commitment to God and had been living comfortably with unbelievers. And now Jacob is convicted once again. This conviction caused Jacob to go back to Bethel, the place of his commitment to God. He had to put away his idols. Jacob had not been to Bethel in 30 years. 30 years. He had forgotten that place where he met God for 30 years. In that amount of time, he had built altars to God, but he had also tolerated the false worship of idols. He had developed a philosophy of worship that embraced or at least tolerated the world while trying to maintain a relationship with God. It didn't work with Jacob, and it won't work for us today. We are building big churches. We have huge congregations. We have big orchestras in the churches. We have done, but we have compromised the truth to build those things. The truth is, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, build a big church. No, he said, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Some of the biggest churches today, you look at them and you say, wow, this is the church I would like to be in. And in the past, I was tempted watching those big congregations and the pastor speaking and the lights and 100 people sitting there and 20 there and the choirs. And I say, I wish I could be one of those sitting there. But then I remember Jesus. He had 12 people. And one of them betrayed him. The others left him. And yet, he turned the world upside down. It didn't work with Jacob and won't work with us. He had to clean up and make a change. First was he had to put away his idols. We all if not all, many of us Christians have our own idols at home, in the church, in our lives. We should put them away, the Bible says. He had to clean up and make a change. That is what repentance is all about. Many want to get near God without cleansing themselves from the filth of this world. We can't. Number three, Jacob responded to God and his conviction brought action. Words are empty without action. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, get rid of the foreign strange gods you have with you. Purify yourselves. Be clean. Change your clothes. Change your clothes could mean a lot of things to a lot of people. But even taking it literally, when a Christian who claims to be a son or a daughter of God, of the living God and a follower of Jesus Christ, has dresses and acts and talks and lives like everybody else, and even sometimes worse than the unbelievers, then you say, God says, change your clothes. What is this? Change your life. And we say, Lord, you don't understand. The society has changed. Cultures change. It's about time for you to change. Some may say that. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, says Jacob to his family. There are many strange things in the lives of believers. Things like strange plans, strange attitudes, strange lifestyles, strange words, strange goals. What about you? Are you convicted, like Jacob, about the strange things in your life? Jacob was convicted of a sinful way of life, and he repented. And he returned to Bethel. He said, come, let us go back to Bethel. Jacob remembered that God had answered his prayer. He also remembered that God had been with him. Now Jacob was consecrated, set apart for God. He built an altar and worshipped God faithfully. What was the impact of Jacob's return to Bethel? We read in Genesis 35 verses 3 and 5, then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell upon the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them. Sometimes we get far away from God without realizing it, but God calls us back. Sometimes we feel so comfortable being a Christian. Sometimes we feel that we are good Christians. Sometimes we feel we are a good teacher. Sometimes we feel that I'm a good pastor. But God says, come back to reality. Wake up. Go back to your Bethel. God is calling you back to your Bethel. You, your family, and loved ones will be blessed when you return to your Bethel. I do not know where you are in your journey of your life today, but if you ignore God's call, the consequences will be awful and even deadly. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your continuous love and interest in us and for us. Thank you, Lord, for your voice that comes loud and clear sometimes, but we ignore it because we are too busy doing other things. Forgive us, Lord, and may the Holy Spirit convict each one of us this morning. May you just wake us up from our and help us to see that there are things we have forgotten, a commitment that we have ignored. And Lord, to strengthen us. You are, Lord, here this morning to change lives, to mend lives, to forgive, and to establish a new and wonderful journey, our spiritual journey. Father, help each one of us. In your blessed name, I pray, amen.